Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back here with you again on another Sunday evening.
Always good to be here on Sunday evening.
Yeah.
It's like part of our life.
Yeah, it has been this for about what, the last...
This is what we do on Sunday evenings.
Yeah. The last 9 or 10 years?
Yeah, probably about nine.
Nine, yeah.
But anyway, I can't remember exactly when we started, but I know it was all of 2009. Well, we might have even started at the end of 2008.
I wonder if all of our listeners are going to throw us a 10th anniversary party.
I wonder.
Mm. Oh, well.
Keep those cards and letters coming.
Yep.
Yeah. And put donations in them. Well, here we are again. And as we always say, since we have the shorter half-hour show, we don't have a lot of time to joke around or summarize the previous show.
Yeah. No.
But anyway, the last couple of shows, we've been in Acts chapter 10, which is the story of Cornelius's house. And Peter comes, preaches the salvation message. The Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius and all of his household. They get baptized. And the circumcised believers are kind of amazed at what's going on. And we're going to actually do part of another show on that and then do a follow-up of what happens in Acts chapter 11 because of what Peter did by going to Cornelius's house. Because as he pointed out to Cornelius, it's unlawful for me to be here.
Yeah.
So I'm not supposed to go to Gentile houses. And I had this vision, and then some Gentiles showed up at my door, and they spent the night at the house. And then I came over here, and now I'm with all you Gentiles, and I don't know what's going on, but...
Yeah, the whole order of everything that was established was upset.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's so where should you start reading? Let's read that last part.
Of chapter 10?
Yeah, maybe start at 44.
Okay. While Peter was still speaking these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the word. The circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit should have been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they could hear them speaking in tongues and glorifying God. Then Peter responded, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit even as we have?" He ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for a few days.
Ooh.
Incredible.
Yeah. So you can read just what comes before that or listen to last week's show at giveofgraceministries.org. But Peter basically tells them that salvation is through Jesus and tells them what has happened. And before he's even done speaking, the Holy Spirit falls on the whole house. And they're praising in tongues. They're speaking in tongues. They're magnifying God. They're praising. And it's a charismatic prayer group now.
Yeah.
And they forgot all about the refreshments. And they're just like... But now you have the circumcised believers saying, wait a minute, how come these Gentiles, you know, these Romans of all people have had the Holy Spirit poured out on them? And, interestingly, you know, Peter says they received the Holy Spirit just like we have.
Mm-hmm.
We had it Pentecost morning. And after that, I gave this pretty nice teaching and 3,000 people got saved. And now but they were all Jews. Here we have a household full of Gentiles that are now running around the room with their arms up, praying in tongues and glorifying God and understanding salvation in Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that the first thing Peter says is, hey, can anybody prevent these people from being baptized? Because they received the Spirit just like we did. So let's get some water and baptize them.
Yeah. I mean, the people that were with Peter, they were all Jews. They were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles. But Peter recognizes that it's the same measure.
Yes.
It's the fullness of the measure that was poured out to them.
Yes.
Which is very important.
Oh, yeah.
And you notice that they mention or they describe the Jewish believers as circumcised believers.
Yes.
Because really, circumcision was a sign of the covenant.
Exactly.
God established it with Abraham. And the male child was circumcised on the eighth day. They didn't have a choice in it as parents. You know, today parents try and bring up their children and go, I'll let my child find God when he's ready or when they're ready.
Yeah.
That is not, you know, spiritually, it is abandoning your life with God.
Mm.
being in the covenant with God means you have life with him. Being outside of the covenant means that you don't have life with him.
Exactly.
It's a big choice.
Yes.
And yet, a lot of people in our culture just take that for granted and think that it doesn't matter anymore, but it still does.
Yeah.
So, the Holy Spirit comes, and the circumcised believers who were in the covenant with God through, you know, circumcision, the Old Testament of Abraham, or the Old Testament covenant with Abraham, I should say, they see this happening, they're astounded, and Peter's witnessing it,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the whole order of how everything was structured
mm-hmm.
is now turned around.
Yeah. Now we're in a new covenant.
We're in a new order. You know, a new covenant has been established, the new and eternal covenant. And so Peter rightly says, can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit, even as we have?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you notice he doesn't say, oh, now, you know, we better get these men here circumcised because now they're in the covenant with us.
Right.
That doesn't come up. But now the new sign of the new covenant does come up.
Exactly.
And on Pentecost morning, he says, repent and be baptized.
Yeah.
And, but you know, the John the Baptist said, repent mm-hmm. and be baptized. Jesus yeah. says, repent and be baptized.
Yeah.
So, Peter now says, repent and be baptized Pentecost morning.
Yeah.
Here, these people who are just filled with the Spirit, Peter doesn't mention anything to do with the Mosaic law. I mean, not a thing.
Right.
He doesn't say like, we can't eat your refreshments or, you better make sure you get circumcised now. We can't pray with you until you are circumcised.
Right.
He says, we got to baptize them
yeah.
because they're believers. Mm-hmm. They've come to faith in Jesus as their savior. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit. So what's preventing them from being baptized?
Yeah.
And he commands them to be baptized.
Yeah.
It doesn't say he baptizes them.
Right.
But he commands them to be baptized. So presumably Cornelius and his wife and his friends and whoever else was there, it says his friends and his family were there. So whoever was in that house got baptized, obviously by one of these circumcised believers.
Yeah.
Who then just went ahead and baptized them.
Exactly.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah. I mean, they receive the Holy Spirit. They're praising God. They're glorifying God and giving the same witness
yeah.
to God's mighty acts as yeah. that happened at Pentecost with
yes.
the, you know, with the apostles in the upper room.
Yeah.
So it's going to bring into some questions though. Well, how could this be?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Well, Shouldn't they have to do yeah. this first and then?
Yeah.
But how would God do that? Because this is all brand new.
Yeah. And then when you put it in its historical context, these are the people that are occupying the land. You know, Peter and his circumcised friends are under the dominion of the Romans.
Yeah.
And now here they are baptizing the Romans.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
That this Roman official and his family are listening to Galilean fishermen who then say, well, let's baptize them. And
yeah.
they submit to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is pretty radical.
I mean, and yeah, the whole order of like the Roman centurion has charge over the Jewish people there.
Yeah.
But in the kingdom.
Yes. That's right.
This Jewish fisherman.
That's right.
Peter,
has more power.
has the power to baptize them.
Yeah.
Because he sees the anointing that's fallen upon
yeah.
him.
Cornelius yeah. had the power to arrest the whole bunch of them and put them in prison.
Yeah.
But now he submits to being baptized. And interestingly, it says that Peter commanded them to be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter said to these other circumcised believers, baptize all these people.
Yeah.
Peter himself didn't do it, which is interesting because I can't remember where it is. I think in 1 Corinthians where Paul, yeah, 1 Corinthians where Paul says, I haven't really baptized a lot of people. And he mentions a couple of people. He mentions somebody and somebody named Gaius. And then almost as an afterthought, he says, oh, I think I might have baptized the family of Stephanus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says, I didn't come to baptize. I came to preach the gospel. And in a way, if you look at it, Peter does the same thing because if Peter himself would have baptized all these people, they could have gone on through the rest of their lives saying, hey, we got baptized by Peter. hey, we got baptized by Peter. The other guys could have said, hey, we got baptized by Paul. You know, I don't know who baptized you, just some ordinary schmuck somewhere. We got baptized by Peter. So yeah. That's out of the picture now. He commands them to be baptized.
A small debate does arise about some things similar to that, but not about,
Yeah, exactly. But it's not, they keep the personalities out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like somebody who says, oh, you know, my baby was baptized by the Pope, or, you know, my little kid was baptized by Billy Graham one day. And, you know, you could talk about that your whole life.
Yeah.
Oh, I was baptized by this person. But even if you're baptized by a nobody, it's still baptism.
It's still baptism.
And and here it is as another proof that this is such an important sign of the covenant.
Yeah.
Because Peter goes automatically to it.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say, well, now you guys, if you take the next 12 weeks of classes and get yourselves ready to be baptized, then we'll baptize mm-hmm. you. Baptizes them right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is pretty neat.
It is. It's amazing.
Yeah. And then I love verse 48, the second part of verse 48. Then they asked him to stay a few days. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Because after all, after this amazing experience, just like the guys who were walking on the road to Emmaus said, oh, man, we don't want this to end. Mm-hmm. You know, can you stay with us? Can we do more Bible study? You know, they don't want Peter to just say, well, okay, guys, it's been nice being here. Thanks for having me come and we'll see you, and me and these circumcised believers are going to go back to Simon the Tanner's house, and we'll catch you guys later. No, they want him to stay.
Yeah.
Because after all, they've become believers in the Messiah. They've been filled with the Spirit. They've been baptized.
Mm-hmm.
Now they want instruction. They want encouragement.
Yeah.
They want to know, so tell me about all of this. You were with Jesus for 3 years. What did he tell you? Teach us, teach us, teach us. And, you know, as it says in Acts, I think it's 6, where they appoint the first deacons,
mm-hmm.
one of whom was Stephen, not you, but the other one.
Yeah.
You know, it says,
I get that a lot.
It says, it says, anybody throw rocks at you?
No.
But it said,
I don't want to talk about that. I wish you wouldn't bring that up.
But, you know, they said that they appointed the deacons because the apostles couldn't take time away from the preaching of the word and from the ministering that they were doing. So Peter stays there because now all these people that have become believers and been baptized now have to be discipled. They have to be instructed. They would have been actually pretty sad probably if Peter would have just said, okay, we're going to leave now. So, have fun at your next home group. And they would have watched Peter and these guys walk away. They would have said, wait a minute. What do we do now? But the fact that they asked Peter to stay, shows you that they want to learn more. I mean, I remember when I became a believer, I wanted to hear what every teacher had to say. And I'm sure most of you that have had that experience can identify with that. Because you don't want to just say, okay, I'm a believer now, so
mm-hmm.
that's good. I'll just go to church on Sunday and then. No, you want to hear somebody do a teaching. You want to learn something about the scripture. You want to learn something about. And they wanted Peter to stay with them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's the faith is handed on from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly in Peter's time and in Paul's time, this was an oral tradition.
Yes, exactly. There was no scripture yet, no New Testament
right.
yet.
You know, and that's something that we forget about,
yes.
that we do not think about in our culture today. And a
yes.
lot of people, even believers, fall into that trap of
yes.
thinking,
absolutely.
Man, if it's not written down, then it can't exist.
Yes.
And you know, the printing press wasn't invented until the 15th century.
Yeah.
That's when things were mass produced. Before that, you had to handwrite everything. That's why you had scribes.
Yeah, you had all those scrolls.
All those scrolls, you know. Hey, can you go and get the scroll for the book of Isaiah?
Ooh.
Oh, not that one.
That's the heavy one.
That's the heaviest one. Can't you get Micah or something?
The minor prophets?
Can't you get the book of Micah, the scroll of Micah? Come on. But seriously, you know, everything was an oral tradition.
Yeah.
If they wrote something down, you know, it had to be copied and handed out or were passed out to the apostles.
Yes.
There was order, there was structure forming in the early church. You know, it wasn't just random.
Sure.
But they're gonna talk about this. I mean, this, what happens here at Cornelius's house is just astounding.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes everything. Mm-hmm. It changes the whole course of how they're going to interact with each other.
Yeah. And these people were Romans. They didn't have command of the Hebrew scripture. So they needed to hear a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, they needed, like, Peter, tell us about the law. Tell us about the prophets. Tell us what talked about Jesus in the Hebrew scripture.
Yeah.
Now Peter's been spirit-filled for probably at least a couple of weeks, so he's probably a lot better at it than he would have been. And now he remembers everything that Jesus had taught them. He remembers the scripture readings he's heard all through his life. But they want him to teach. You know, it's like we always talk about the woman at the well and all these people like Andrew and all. You know, when you meet Jesus, you don't just say, oh, great, I met him.
Yeah.
You run and say, hey, let me tell you who I just met. Come and see is the thing.
Yeah.
You know, cause you want everybody to experience that. So these guys are so excited that they want Peter to tell them more stuff. But on the other hand, they probably realize Peter can't just like stay there. You know, they can't start the, you know, home church there and Peter's going to be there every day with them.
Right.
I mean, he's got a limited amount of time because he's going to be going to do other stuff. But they want him at least for a few days to stay with them to teach. You know, and at the beginning of Acts 2, it says that the disciples listened, believers listened to the apostles' teachings.
Mm-hmm.
They sat at the temple and heard their teaching in the temple.
Yeah.
And then they went to their house.
Right.
So here they got Peter with them in their house. So Cornelius says, hey, dude, you're not leaving yet. We got to learn more stuff.
Yeah, it's a pretty awesome meeting. It's a pretty awesome meeting. And it's all part of God's plan. You know, this is a divine appointment that was set up by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, that this is going to be the start of the Holy Spirit falling upon, you know, all flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And
those
who did not know me will know me. Those who did not seek me will find me.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think that now that you say that, it's very instructive. We'll hear this, which will probably be the next show now that we're getting on here. But Peter's comment, they've received the Holy Spirit just as we have.
Yeah.
This isn't a different experience. This isn't a different spirit. This isn't a different anything.
Right.
It's the same infilling of the Spirit. So whether you're in the upper room with the 120, or you're at Cornelius's house, or you're with a bunch of people in Samaria, or you're a bunch of people in Youngstown in 2018 AD, and the Holy Spirit falls.
What if you're walking around with Eldad and Medad outside the camp?
But this still gets filled with
still
the Spirit.
Still the same one.
Yeah, right. Even if you're in Warren instead of Youngstown. Oh, wait a minute.
Cortland?
Cortland? I don't know. One of those towns. any place that you are, and we hope Pastor Dave's listening, any place that you are, if the Holy Spirit falls, it's the same Spirit, the same experience. It isn't different than what happened Pentecost morning.
Yeah.
You may not have the rushing wind and the fire, but it's the same Spirit.
Yeah.
And Peter now, who's realizes there's no partiality. He saw the animals. He hanging out with Gentiles now. He says they've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. And, you know, the concept of the Trinity is not even ironed out at this point. But Peter knows this is the Holy Spirit that's been poured out.
That's true. Yeah, the concept of the Trinity as we understand it today in theology is not really understood here yet. Yeah.
Yeah. So he knows that these Gentiles will not have the same experience that the circumcised believers had had.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very profound. And, you know, like we like to explain to us, we say, oh yeah, so what? But at that point, it was radical.
Yeah, very.
The
radical.
The circumcised believers were astonished that this had happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we say, well, of course, because, you know, we're all Gentiles here. You know, you go to any church that has a Pentecostal experience and everybody there's a Gentile, so you're not surprised. But for these guys, it was radical.
Yeah.
And I think that the calling for the baptism is an important point.
Well, baptism is, you know, as Jesus said, that go therefore, that's part of the Great Commission, the Great Command.
Yes.
Go therefore and baptize all nations,
yes.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son,
yes.
And Holy Spirit. So there's there's a formula there for it.
That's right. That is the formula.
And it's there from Jesus who established and ratified the new eternal covenant in his own blood.
That's right.
So it's not something that you can just go, well, I don't think I want to do that in my church.
Yeah.
Then you're not following the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You're not following the new and eternal covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think as I always like to say, like you point out all the time, it's the same spirit that fell on Jesus in the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
That same spirit is available for us. That same spirit is available to be, the outpouring is available for all these guys.
Exactly.
Even Eldad and Medad.
Yeah.
Even some guy who's in Independence, Ohio tonight may be filled with the Spirit and something may happen.
Yeah.
It's the same Holy Spirit. Like Paul says, there's different ministries, but the same Spirit.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you and I talk with a lot of people that, you know, throughout the course of time, that we've been in ministry, where some people are open to the Holy Spirit and some people are not open to the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yes.
And even those who, you know, even those who profess to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior might say, I don't believe in all that Holy Spirit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really missing a whole part of God's plan of salvation, because it's not that the Holy Spirit is something that somebody added on later as a, like a footnote. Oh, by the way, and we're going to throw this Holy Spirit thing in here so that we can, you know, we can start something new here.
Yeah.
No, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit coming to his disciples well before this happened. He was preparing them for that.
Yeah.
You know, the Holy Spirit was spoke of in the Old Testament. It was poured out in it wasn't poured out in full measure like it was at Pentecost.
Yeah.
But it was poured out at a certain time. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like the Holy Spirit is non-existent and you can't locate him somewhere in the, you know, in the Torah.
Yeah.
And so when you limit this portion of the outpouring of God's grace, you limit the power that is available to you as a believer to evangelize and to spread the gospel.
Yes. And even, you know, the Nicene Creed points out that the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets.
Yes.
Now, the prophets were specially chosen people that were Spirit-filled for what they had to do, but that's the same Holy Spirit that's poured out on all flesh, the prophet Joel talks about.
Exactly.
Holy Spirit's going to be poured out on all flesh. And if you choose to kind of ignore that or minimize it or say, well, that doesn't really happen anymore, you've quenched the Spirit and nothing's going to happen.
Right.
But if you're open, if you're docile to what the Spirit's doing,
mm-hmm.
your whole life is different.
Yeah. 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 You have to be open to the Spirit of God, because he guides us and leads us in all truth. The Holy Spirit reminds us of all that Jesus taught us.
Yes.
And he's an advocate for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does that.
Yeah. It's another paraclete, another one who stands beside.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting that Peter points out, this is the same Holy Spirit we received.
Yeah.
And maybe there wasn't the rushing wind and the flames, but look at these people. They're prophesying, they're singing, they're praising in tongues, they're playing end time music already.
And they're saying it's the end of the show already.
Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you would be open to the gift of the Holy Spirit, the counselor that Jesus spoke of and promised that would be sent by the Father, to guide us and lead us in all truth and remind us of all that Jesus taught us. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.